Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Mary. How are you today? Hello, hello, hello.
Sorry, I had myself muted.
Well, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. How about you?
I'm just great. I'm all wrung out. I just got out of the pool. Did my daily, couple times a week, daily pool therapy, and feeling pretty good. And we're looking forward to this week rolling on as it is. And I just thought, come on early. And looks like when I signed in, I didn't sign in. I signed in as a guest, but I also log in under the dashboard so I can see that you have some guests that are coming on the show as soon as you start.
Yeah. And my guest today could not make it. He ended up with a work situation and had to go in for training. So he will be on next week.
Okay, great.
So today we're going to start the show. And we're going to start out with I always start out my show with a blessing or a prayer based on what one, the book tells me. I always just open the book and it tells me what to say. And two, that's how I pick the topics for my show. And today comes from Psalm 103:14. He himself knows our frame. He is mindful and that we are but dust. God knows very well that his thoughts, his ways, his infinitely surpass our own. He is mindful that he has created us for finite beings out of a few pounds of garden soil. He understands that. He knows how to work with those limited in comprehension and frail of frame. My question is, why don't we understand it, and why do we accept perfection of ourselves and our associates? Welcome to the Wednesday Show, sponsored by the Hope Collection and Optimize My Life. The Hope Collection's mission and slogan is helping others to help by helping others help others. It's kind of like paying it forward with a twist. There are 8 core values that the Hope Collection supports: cutting-edge health and wellness programs for all members of the family, jobs, different certification courses and education, housing, energy, arts, and faith. We give you the gift of hope. On Monday's show is the Guiding Your Light with Kurt, who's a certified life coach, and he helps give you steps and guides on everyday issues that you're facing with a spiritual twist to it. On Tuesdays, it's Rick Reese, and he talks about the travel industry and different ways that you can bring in other income through the travel agency. On Wednesdays is me, Mary, your host, and I talk about different things from families to your mental health and how to break the barriers of what's going on. Thursdays is with Bob, and he's all about your family and gives you stories and anecdotes and different things that he has went through to help show you that you're not alone when you're struggling with different issues. And Friday is a salute to Len Kane, the real top gun. And he is the creator and founder of the Golden Rule Society and the Kindness Campaign. And he talks about his life and what goes on and what he's working on with different aspects in medicine, travel, and other things. And Saturdays is a bonus episode that turns around and tells you about kind of what's going on with the week and what some of our other coaches are working on. Now, this week, we are honoring and saluting the first responders, the victims, the families, and survivors, military personnel, and everyone who was affected by 9/11. This tragic event in our nation's past should never be forgotten. It should be honored and respected as a horrible event in how our country and our people came together and helped each other out. How many people turned around and ran towards the burning buildings instead of running the other way just to make sure everybody got out. When those planes hit, our country was crippled with fear. When fear subsided, we band together as a country, took action. Some felt the calling and enlisted in the military, in paramedics, firemen, and law enforcement. Jumping to action and seeing all these brave men and women jump to action is something we need to honor, because not everybody could do it and not everybody had that calling. Now I'm opening up the lines for any comments or anything that anyone would like to share about what they remember during 9/11.
Mary?
Yes, sir.
This is Ron Clayton. I live in Buffalo, New York, and I'd just like to salute you for taking the time to set up the show specifically. And all week you've actually arranged for this to be a continued salute and tribute to all those who were affected. And there isn't any of us that weren't affected. But some of us and some others have actually participated in are actually working to help solve, and some people are contributing even to this day. There's Tunnels for Towers, which is a nonprofit organization which we support as ourselves to help provide survivors and their families, firemen, whether they're firemen or military or policemen or first responders. And that organization actually buys homes or pays off mortgages for the families of those folks lost. And they continue to do that because that list grows over what, and of course they continue on with the scope of what their nonprofit is doing. And the Hope Collection supports them to help that accomplish also. And we have a division in our group. We know one of the categories or pillars is housing. And so we have some programs to help provide and line up for individuals, whether they're military, extended family, military, or first responder, or extended family of those folks. We have programs and opportunities and programs that we can help people get into homes, ownership. One of the keys to the Hope Collection in this umbrella that Mary laid out is that we're committed to actually being proactive, substantial, and substantive in terms of providing what we'll call generational prosperity. One of the keys to changing the course of any family's life is enabling them to own and to create equity in what they do. And that's what Joel Griffin, the founder of the Hope Collection, Dr. Phil, my best friend and business partner of 40 years, has taught us and then leads us with a model to be able to make that happen. And these shows like today Mary has become so special. She is a certified life coach herself in several fields. She also is a mother. She's a veteran. She was in the Army, and she served, and she's demonstrated. Now she's serving again in several capacities, including being one of the key components of the Hope Collection Optimize Your Life radio show every week. I've come on just to say hi, and again, just to encourage and let everybody know that when you're talking to Mary and listening to her, she comes with a wealth of knowledge and experience. And also partners, that if you have needs, if she can't herself provide the service to do that, she knows where to go and get it. That's what Hope is. It's a big umbrella to extend to people a way to make things better in this life. 9/11, I can talk all about it firsthand because I was sitting on top of the bridge of Highway 3. I was going the next lower end when I came off the bridge. I would have been in the Lincoln Tunnel. And I saw smoke from the first plane that had gone to the one tower, and then a 767 coming through the air. It's a huge plane, by the way, folks. And I saw that plane get engulfed above the 32nd floor of the World Trade Center 2. And I was on my way to have lunch with my friend. He was coming in from the Long Island Railroad, which he worked for, and he was coming on the subway, and we were going to meet at Tower 2 for lunch. And thank God that was early in the morning. It was about 9:30 when this happened, and it was devastating. And to be stuck in traffic, we couldn't move for 4 hours. And I was only about 2 miles from my hotel on across from the Meadowlands, and where we ended up going back to for the next 4 days. But the hard part about it was watching people jump from the building to escape, because not too long after that, the whole building collapsed. I can't help it. Folks, I still am emotional about it, because it's real. It's a real attack. And when you are a person of integrity and you're a person or a business of integrity, know this, you're going to get attacked, and you don't know where it's going to come from. But have faith that Lord God is still looking out. He's still in business, and the miracles that have come out of what happened on 9/11 are still happening today. And Mary, I want to thank you for taking the time to set the show up to make this happen today. And I know you got some other guests. I hope the day goes well for everyone, and God bless you all. Thank you.
You too. Thank you, Ron.
I know.
Bye, Bob.
Hello, Ronnie.
Ron.
Alrighty, am I
Hi,
on?
Bob. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead and speak.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. All right, anyone? I'd like to...
Are you hosting, Mary?
I
Mary,
am
are you
hosting?
Hosting.
I am. Ron
oh, okay.
just came on to say hi and talk about his experiences with 9/11. Today's my show. You've never made it to my show before.
Great. If you'd like me to, I can talk a little bit.
I'd love to.
Okay. You know, to me, 9/11 was a wake-up call for us Americans. For many years, we were concerned about wars and so forth in other countries. And when 9/11 happened, it was a big surprise to us all, and it was also a very tragic event that caused a lot of pain to a lot of people. Not only the pain of the people that died on that day, but also the pain of the families that lost their loved ones, and the pain of recovering from that. And it's taken many years. It's 20 years now. I think we're going into the 21st year, and it's been a very tragic wake up call for all of us. We realized that we were vulnerable to be attacked in this country, and from people in other countries, and people that were had a lot of hatred in their hearts and in their minds against Americans, and that's why it happened. And it was led by a very, very vicious man, Osama bin Laden, and eventually we were able to eliminate him. Thank God to our special service forces that we have in this country. And it was ironic that they found him in a hole. He was hiding in a hole in the ground, like an animal, you know. And so it was, and he had a gun, and he was going to kill whoever found him, but they managed to get him first. And so I was thankful that his life was ended, but I was hoping that he could have suffered in prison like many other people, rather than being killed immediately. But that's what God wanted to happen, and that's what happened. So anyway, I just like to talk about that for a minute, about the impact of families, because there were so many families that were impacted. Families that were not, that didn't lose loved ones, but they, when they realized what happened, when we all realized what happened, it was an impact on our lives, and we and it caused a lot of fear in people's hearts, because they were concerned that there was going to be more of that coming, and they didn't know when it would occur. So I think that the government made a lot of changes to the security to ensure that it wouldn't happen again. But those things are not foolproof. Those things that they did through new laws and regulations were supposedly to help, but I guess they did help. But they also affected our freedoms because we had to give up a little bit of our freedom in order to have those things enacted. So that's another way it impacted people. And the fact that traveling was impacted greatly because they set up more security to make sure that people didn't we're not going to cause another problem like that. And then the families that lost their loved ones, there was a tremendous impact on them. And that will be with them for the rest of their lives. And many of them have been helped by different organizations and different agencies. It still doesn't take away the pain. And it doesn't help with the way that their lives have been changed dramatically overnight, and it makes you wonder, or it makes you think a lot about that. Our life here is only temporary, and we it could come any time when we pass. And so it raised a lot of people's awareness of that also, the fact that the way they lived and the way they treated other people and so forth was changed. So there were many changes that took place in our country. But you know what? After 20 years, a lot of that has been forgotten. And a lot of people, there's a new generation now. And things are changing in the other direction right now. So that's just some of the things, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mary, but some of the things have been on my mind about what happened and the impact of what happened in 9/11. Okay?
Yes. Thank you, Bob. So, you know, that's the big thing, like Bob brought up, the new generation. We need to explain to our kids what happened that fateful day. We need to explain in a age-appropriate way on what happened and why we honor and why we remember. You know, 9/11 is my generation's Pearl Harbor. And we honor it. Even Pearl Harbor Day, we honor and talk about what happened that day. And, you know, I grew up always knowing about Pearl Harbor. We need to continue it on and talk about 9/11 and what happened and the impact it had. So that way it's not forgotten with the future generations. I'd like to welcome a guest. Overton is a friend of mine that I met the other day.
Hello, Mary, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. It was a pleasure meeting you the other day. I was super stoked that you had the kindness in your heart to invite me to a radio show. When I first heard about it, I was super nervous. I'm glad to know that there's like-minded individuals who want to speak on such matters, because they are important. And I go my day-to-day speaking with friends and families regarding serious matters, and for example, such examples as this, and a lot of people just are either unable or unwilling to discuss these topics in conversation. And so I wanted to know a little bit more about how to go about approaching such matters in regards to children or students, because I was not of a generation that knew particularly the details. I was barely five or 6 years old when that happened. And so I only heard about it through documentaries and older friends and relatives. But I could see on their faces like it deeply impacted them as well. Oh.
Hang on 1 second, please. Kurt or Bob, can you take over for a minute?
Yes. How you doing? This is Kurt, Overton. How you doing? Welcome aboard. Please continue, okay?
All right. And as I was going on, I'm a certified life agent in the state of California. And so as part of my role, as far as help my communities, I speak to a lot of families regarding retirement and insurance, and that's part of what we do as an agency. We seek out to help our communities and better more educated and more prepared for certain situations, especially in regards to 9/11, which left a lot of people affected, not just by the fact that they lost their loved ones, but the fact that it affects them for years to come. Because actually, your name is Kurt, right?
Yes.
All right, Kurt. So say, for example, you lost someone who in 9/11 who was primarily the breadwinner, correct? The one who kept the lights on, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the family of that relative who passed away due to 9/11?
Well, what happens? They would probably get some sort of aid from the government. I really don't know. They would move on. And my
correct. The aid would not supplement their entire income to sustain them. Like, for example, a lot of people, were forced to foreclose their homes due to that incident of 9/11. And also a lot of people lost their jobs as well. So they were affected indirectly or directly by such an event. And then this has happened throughout the period of history of America. Not to say that like terrorist attacks, but just financial climate change due to certain events. And what I simply do is I help people, friends, and help families and businesses sustain themselves through these hardships through our financial products and education.
Awesome. That is awesome work you're doing. I'm really, really honored to have you on the show. And welcome aboard the Hope Collection.
I am honored to be invited. The first step is just to invite like-minded individuals who wanted to hear and listen and learn.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead, Mary.
I was going to say you're more than welcome to invite anybody that you feel is a good fit or needs help through the Hope Collection. And on the radio show, we are here Monday through Friday, 11 Central, 12 Eastern Time, 9 o'clock Pacific, every day with the same calling number, which is 714-816. Yep.
Okay, continue. You can continue.
Yep, it's the same number I gave you. It's 714-816-4686.
All righty, I got it. And I made sure to share it to anyone who I know. It was a pleasure meeting you again, Mary. And I look forward to continuing a conversation with you and just learning how to better equip ourselves to help our communities.
I'm honored. Thank you. We have another guest on today. Andre, how are you doing today?
Oh, hi. Good morning. I'm doing great. Who was that person who just was talking a little bit ago? Sounds like bringing a lot to the table.
His name is Overton.
Overton? Okay. Nice to meet you if you're still there. Doing pretty good over here, Mary. Thanks for bringing me on here. Say hello to everybody. Who's all here? I thought I heard Country Boy, too. Maybe not.
Not yet. Nope, that was Bob Oakley. I don't know if you've heard
Bob.
Him yet.
No, I haven't met Bob yet.
He does the Thursday show, and he talks about the impact of what's going on in the world today with families and how to help your families.
Deep. That's good. I'm going to put on mute. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and listen to the Hope Collection. If you want me to jump back on, that's perfectly fine, too. I had to restart my phone a couple times for some reason, and that took a while. So I have to be here. I'll be in the back.
All right. Sounds great. So, you know, the one thing we talk about when it comes to 9/11 is, you know, the families that were impacted directly from the Trade Center or the Pentagon or
mm-hmm.
the Shanksville. But, you know, the other group that we tend to forget about is the military members, the ones that called to serve and got deployed for numerous years, and those families that were impacted. You know, you didn't know if mom
mm-hmm.
or dad was coming home. You didn't know when you're leaving and when you're coming back. And to this day, there's still a lot of soldiers overseas working on peacekeeping missions and training options for individuals over in that situation. And the hardest part, especially with military personnel, is when you're gone for so long, in your eyes, it's like yesterday when you come home and having to adjust from being gone so long and you leaving your child at a year old continuously, even though you're not there.
Mary, it's glitching on my side. I'm not sure what's going on for everyone else or not. But
okay.
While I'm in the good space here, I just want to say thanks for serving. Thanks for what you did, putting in that groundwork, and everybody that was in that event too. We're all involved, but, you know, the people who are smack dab right there in the rubble
mm-hmm.
taking care of those people.
No, a lot of people. Go ahead.
No, I remember a couple of weeks after it happened, I met a man who was a former fireman. I retired, and he went down there to help. And he took pictures of the rubble pile, and the cameras on the news doesn't even give a light. He said the rubble pile was at least 3 to 4 stories high, and now the stories are 10 feet, so that's 40 feet of rubble these firemen were digging through to get people out. And I've been watching documentaries on what happened, and they found people who were stuck in a stairway underneath the rubble, still alive, and they got them out. And that's just one of the miracles that happened that day. A lot of miracles happened that day, and also ordinary Americans became instant heroes for then and now. And we really should recognize them, too. Like you said, Drew, that we have to recognize the people, the firemen, the way they are working on the rubble and getting people out. They're more... They're heroes without the capes.
Beautiful how the heart just opens up, and you know, everybody jumped in and do what they could. 40 feet, or 40? What did you say? Four stories.
Sounds
unsurmountable.
It is. You said it was. Yeah, between some places are around 3 stories high, and some are about 4 to 4.5 stories high. So that's 40 feet of, well, just rubble.
That takes a lot of
the ground.
Yep.
So.
Yep, there's a lot of stories like that. You know, I think about when I was working in New York City. And I used to visit the Twin Towers quite often in my job. And one of the places that I really liked to go to on the World Trade Centers was the restaurant at the top. It was a restaurant that revolved around in a circle. And you could see the whole city. It was called the Windows of the World. And it was a beautiful, beautiful sight. And I think about the people that were up there working that day in the restaurant and the fact that they went to work expecting their day would be the normal routine, what they did every day. But it actually, their day was ended. Their life was ended that day. And so many people that were in the towers that happened to. And we have to honor and remember all of the first responders that responded to the call. And they knew if they went up there, they were putting their lives on the line. But they did it anyway. And many of them died also. I think there was a couple of hundred or 300 firefighters and police officers that died when the towers came down. But it's amazing. They did it regardless of what the impact might be if they went in there. And they were helping people down the stairways. Like you said, they found a number of people on the stairways still alive. And they helped people to get down the stairways. There were no lights. There were no lights in that building, and it was heavy smoke. And it was very hard to see where you were going, but the first responders went in there and they helped these people to get as many out as they could. They need their families had a tremendous impact as well when the buildings collapsed and whoever was in there helping people get out, they died also. And the families, I'm sure, will never recover fully from that because it was such a tragic event in their lives. So I just commend all of them, all of the officers, and the policemen, and the firefighters, and the first responders, all of them that went in. And you could see when the people came out, those that made it out, they were all covered with black smoke, and some of them were bloody from different accidents that happened to them during that time. And so yeah, it, it was it was a traumatic event for everybody. Go ahead, Mary. You're back. I'm turning it back to you.
You're good, Bob. You know, the one thing we haven't talked about this week is the kids in the schools surrounding the Trade Center who sat there and watched what was happening. Now, there's been quite a few of those kids that are, they're all now grown up, but they have started different foundations and different ways of giving back and helping others. Even though, you know, they grew up watching, and most of those kids, their parents of one shape or form were working in those towers and in that area that day. You know, you see these kids, you know, 5, 6, 7, 12, you know, plus years, and seeing they didn't let what happened change them who they are on the inside, and they took what they saw and what they grew up with and decided to pay it forward and give the actual gift, the best gift that anyone can do, and take what they were given that chance to be grateful and pay it forward to help others in the same situation.
There were many, many organizations that stepped forward to help the people from the survivors from 9/11. And they helped them with anything that they needed. I'm thinking about my church here in New Jersey. The pastor of our church was a friend with a number of people that died in that, and he managed to work with and help those, set up a small foundation to help those people, those families, and. He also managed to get a piece of the building, a very large beam that was recovered from the building, and we set up a monument at our church to remember and honor those people that died in that tragic event. So that's just a memory to all of us and people that were impacted. I see all the time people gather around that monument and they are praying for their families and their ones that have their loved ones that have passed. So I'm sure that's been set up in a number of locations around the world, but I had a direct impact on me and the people in our parish.
The USS New York was just commissioned in 2009. That ship was built from beams from the World Trade Center in honor of what happened with 9/11.
Wow.
No, the
That's
coolest story,
awesome.
Isn't it?
It is.
It took a lot of little legwork and, you know, but yep, the USS New York is built from parts from the World Trade Center to honor what was going on. And, you know, the other cool story is, you know, when they talked about rebuilding the Trade Center, the mayors and the government didn't want to build it as high as it was. But the people of New York stood there and said, no, we're going to build it higher than the original. We're going to show you that it's not going to stop us. It's going to keep us going.
Yeah. I think it's the middle finger to the world. That's what I'm thinking about it.
That's the New York attitude.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't even see that, but that's how I feel. I was like, the middle finger to the world. Yeah. You only did it once. You're not going to do it again. So,
kind of two big middle fingers.
Huh?
It's kind of two big middle fingers to terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can sometimes I get outspoken, but That's just me.
I think it's great that we use materials not only for to remember what happened there, but also as a means of building something else we can use to help strengthen the nation and keep us safe. So I think that's to rebuild again and build it taller, stronger, that shows quite a bit of might and will, and really just showing that we have courage to hold it together again, and that we are a nation that will persist no matter what.
It's the American spirit, and it was built to the height of 1776. Imagine that. Because the spirit of America was really born that day. They really woke up the country that day. And
it did.
I honor the military. I honor everybody, and I mourn for the people we lost. But we should not allow the memories go in vain, because we, as a country, are forgetting that day. And Mary's right, we should educate the people or kids of what happened that day. And a politician brought something up, because should we make this day a federal holiday and lower the flags that have mass? And one of them said, no, why should we do that? We should do that. We should have the flags full mast and be very proud as an American. And we should be.
Yeah.
We should honor the people who lost their lives. We should remember, have them in their hearts and souls for the rest of our lives. And we should educate the people. This cannot ever happen again, and it won't happen again.
You know
there's another smaller group of people that we need to honor also, and that's the plane that was headed that eventually crashed in Pennsylvania headed towards the White House. That's what I understand. And there were two young men there, two or more. I know just for sure it was two of them. One of them was talking to his wife on his cell phone, and she told him what happened, and that they thought there might be another plane headed towards the White House. And so they rose up, and they tried to get to the cabin where the pilot was, and they couldn't get the door open. And then the pilot just, he realized what was going on. And so he decided just to crash the plane right out in the field. They all died also. But that was a very honorable thing that they tried to do, to try to take over the plane from these terrorists. And I think it's important that we remember that these were Americans that were doing the kinds of things that Americans do to help people and to save lives. And unfortunately, they were not able to get to the cockpit and take over the plane. But the terrorists decided it was just better to crash it into the ground and kill all these people. So we should remember them lives also, and not only the lives of the passengers that were on the plane, but these two honorable young men that two or more young men that were stepped up and decided to take action to try to change the situation.
One of the men, his name was Tom Burnett. He was retired. He was retired Air Force, and he was a pilot.
Yep.
And he's actually was originally from Minnesota. That's why I know so much about him.
Small world.
But, you know, the one thing that I like to honor are the civilians, the people on the street that day. Instead of running away, they ran towards that building. Just regular businessmen, regular people just doing their what they do every day. And they went out, grabbed people, helped them, put them, you know, brought them to their shops, did what they could to help without thinking twice. You know, with everything going on today and the controversy about who's in the White House and who's not and all this other stuff, the one thing we tend to forget is that flag. And we've taken our icons and our symbols of this country and turned them political. You know, one thing I'm thankful for is my kids at school every year. The first day of school, they talk and learn the Pledge of Allegiance and they learn the anthem, and they explain to the kids what it means. Everybody stops and thinks, well, we're going to kneel for the Pledge of Allegiance or the anthem because what it means. But it's not what they stand for. It's not in the country, but you're honoring the people in it.
Mary, put
around. Huh?
It's glitching out again. Maybe it's Is it glitching out for anyone else or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You got a very important message, Mary. We want to hear it.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Is it me or is it, am I cutting off everybody else?
Yes, you are, Mary.
All right, hang on. I'm going to do something a little different.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me 2 minutes.
All right, anybody else want to comment on today's show?
I was just going to say that I think it's a good thing that the school that Mary just mentioned breaks it down and explains to people what it all means for the Pledge of Allegiance and what it means. Otherwise, a lot of people, like you said, get caught up in all the politics and all the other antics going on, whereas people will sit down or not stand or not put the hand on the heart because they, you know, I'm going to just say the word, ignorant to the cause, what it means.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to it than just having, you know, someone controlling what to do or making you stand up or making you do this or that. Honestly, if you knew, if everybody knew what was all behind that and all the lies that were built behind this Pledge of Allegiance, then it would be, I think it would be a little bit less scoffed at by people who don't understand it.
Okay, I'm back. Is this better?
Okay. That's fine.
Wonderful.
Okay. So, like Andre was saying, also fun, but what you're forgetting, everybody's forgetting, is the big picture, huge picture. The allegiance is not to the government. It's not to anything. It is to the soil and the ground you walk on every day. You know, when our ancestors came over here, what did they do? They looked for a piece of land to put a house on or a place to live, a place to call their own. That is what all these symbols represent. It's the dirt. That you get to call your own one way or another. Even if you live in an apartment, your apartment's on the soil. That is what all these symbols mean. And we get so narrow-minded into our environment and into what's going on in the world that we forget the simple things and the bigger pictures. We get so closed-minded into what's going on in the world, in our own country with COVID and, you know, 9/11, and we're forgetting the simple basics and why our families came here to begin with. Because And we can honestly say that this is one of the only countries in the world that you came to this country for a reason. It isn't where, you know, England that's been there forever.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly true. That's so true, because this guy,
yeah, we all need to do our part. We all need to do our part to ensure that our country continues in a direction that the good Lord wants us to go. And I believe we have to protect the rights that the good Lord has blessed us with the freedoms that he's blessed us with, and protect that any way we can. And I just believe that today our government is heading in the wrong direction, and we need to change that and do everything we can on our part to change that, so that this doesn't occur again. Because see, one of the things with our borders wide open, which they are right now, people are allowed to come in here that can hurt us, and it is happening in some places, and the fact that the crime rate is rising in cities all around the world, all around the country, I should say, and it's not a good direction. We need to work hard, and we need to pray, and we need to help in any way we can. And that's by helping people to have a better lives, and helping people to understand the importance of the spiritual life to them, and to help them to be concerned about other people's lives, not their own, not just their own, to make this world a better place to live. And that's why so many people are coming into this country. It's because they believe that it's one of the best countries in the world, and we need to protect that, and we need to make sure that continues on for generations to come. So I think that's so important, and I think that 9/11 was just like I said earlier, it's just a wake up call for us all, and we need to keep working hard to help people, and to help them to understand the importance of following the traditions that we've had in this country over the years, and to continue to move forward and in helping everybody around the world. Back to you, Mary.
You know, my biggest belief, and people seem to forget this, you know, we have certain groups that talk about separating church and religion, or church and government and stuff like that. But our Constitution was based on the Bible, on faith.
That's right. Yep.
And the thing is, you know, I personally believe the downfall of family, the downfall of ethics and what we believe in today is the whole point that we're losing faith in religion. And having faith,
yep.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, a Christian religion. It can be whatever you believe in. You have to believe in something other than yourself.
Yep, yep.
Yes. And we need to get back to basics as a society.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
You know, and this is where I'm thankful that my kids prefer to watch this 50 sitcoms over modern-day TV any day.
Yep.
Because they get all them wholesome values that you see, you saw back then, that you don't get in modern TV.
Yeah, yeah. We as parents have a tremendous responsibility that God has given us as in parenthood to set the right example for our children, and to teach them the values that are important because of what God has given us. So I think that's so critical in moving forward and keeping our country based on the principles that were set forth for us, that were based on godly principles, So I just think that's so important for us to continue to stress that in our lives, in the example we set every day. And that part of that we do through the Hope Collection by helping people and helping them to help other people. And that's the example that we set. You know, I comes to mind my friend Derek, who comes on the show quite often. He's not on today, but he's a special needs person, and he by working with him for some time now, he's doing the things that that need to be done, and he has two main goals in his life right now. And the first one is helping people to have a better life, and he says that every single day to me when we talk, and his second goal is to become a life coach, because he knows by listening to all of the leaders in this program that that's a way that he can help people, and so he has a really important goal for him, and so we're working on that together, and it's not just me, it's the whole team. Whenever anybody that talks to him, I know Ron Clayton has helped him a lot, and others. It's important that we all understand that we have been given a responsibility, we have been given a commission. A lot of people call it marketplace ministry. But anyway, it is our responsibility to do whatever we can to make sure that we prepare people for whatever might come in the future, and prepare them to be equipped to handle it, and to try to keep our country moving in the right direction. And so I thank you, Mary, for inviting me on the show today. It's been a great show. And so I'm going to turn it back to you again.
It is my honor for you to be here today, Bob, because you'd never make it to my show. So I'm going to close out the show today with another blessing from 2 Corinthians 5:7. You may truly sense that God has something for you to accomplish in a certain area. But if you are vigilant, if you aren't daily humbling yourself before him, seeking his face, discerning his timing, operating under Spirit's control, you may push and shove and force your way prematurely into that place where God wanted you. But you will not have arrived in his own time. God waits for you to seek his counsel. If you act without his timing, hang on.
Yeah, a big wolf and a little wolf in there somewhere.
Whoa, that's really harsh.
Who
do you think won?
We got lucky. We ended up with a service dog, and once in a while, a new dog kind of gets a little big for his britches.
Wow. That's quite, what kind of breed is that?
But, you know, the thing is remembering that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And you have to follow the signs that you're given. You know, people lose patience in life and getting to, well, this is what I want to do. And you keep trying to do it, and you're big in your head. You know, like I talk to my husband all the time. I go, you know what, my forehead is finally becoming flat. Because we'll get into arguments, and, you know, I'll bang my head, figuratively banging my head against the wall. And even starting a business and doing what I'm doing, you know, you have to look for signs, and things open up when they're supposed to. No, it's just like 9/11 and what happened there.
Right.
Yep.
People came to the help and the aid of others because that's what God told them to do. They didn't think about it. They didn't question it. They jumped into action because that's who they are in their heart.
Right.
Mary, I want to mention one other thing quick. We're on the show tomorrow. We're going to do another segment of honoring the people from 9/11, and I think also Friday that you've been pushing that, and I think that this is just a great thing. And so I want to invite anybody that's listening to come on the show tomorrow or Friday and participate in this important thing that we're talking about. I just wanted to mention that before everybody leaves.
Tomorrow is Bob, and we're gonna continue on our week. And it's the same call-in number, 714-816-4686. And Friday will be Len Kane and Ron talking
Clayton.
About...
Yep.
Yeah, I drew a blank at his last name for a minute there. We'll be talking. And then on Monday, Kurt's going to finish up by overviewing what we discussed this week on Monday about everything that was talked about all week long.
Great.
Yes. I want to thank you guys. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mary.
It's going to be an awesome show Monday. You have awesome shows. Everyone has awesome shows. It's just going to be a closure on 9/11, and it's going to be really wonderful. I'm looking forward to it.
Great, great.
Well,
thank you, Chris.
Everybody, have a good day. Have a good
you
week,
too, Mary.
And I'll talk to you next Wednesday. Thank
God
you.
Bless you all.
Thank you, Mary.
God bless everyone. Can anyone hear me?
Everybody.
Yep.
I just want to say God bless you, everyone. Before I go, I just want to let everybody know I do have an open guest Zoom Saturdays early morning around 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. No, it's 12 Central Time at 2 p.m. He's a set time around Georgia time. So anybody wants any more details around our guest Zoom, the same way I bet Mary, just text my number.
Send me the link and I'll pass it out and I'll hand out your number.
Sounds good. All right.
Perfect.
And once again, Mary, thank you for inviting me.
Not a problem. You're always welcome.
All righty. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.